But as we came into Monday, the Lord started Monday and Tuesday dealing with my heart, going a different direction. And today it really got thick yesterday and today as I was preparing it, and just some simple thoughts that I wanted to share with you tonight. And there were several passages of scriptures that I was contemplating going to make this application that I want to share tonight. But this one kept coming to my mind, and I thought this is the place that we would desperately need to go for what God has for us. Colossians chapter 1. Look with me, if you would, please, in verse number 9. If you would, Colossians chapter 1, in verse number 9. The Bible says here, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it." Now, for what cause, and what did Paul, who is our writer here under divine inspiration, what exactly did Paul hear? Well, Paul is writing right here to the believers at Colossae to thank God for them and to commend them for their faithfulness that he had heard about from a distance. Now, isn't it wonderful that when you hear about somebody from a distance that's doing something for God, in other words, whatever they're doing, it's spreading and it's getting to somebody else. It helps them and it encourages them. In other words, what Paul is doing right here is he is joining together with others. In this verse of Scripture, as he says right here, that he had heard and he is joining with others. When you see this and you look at this, and he is commending the believers for their spiritual growth, what God is doing in their life. And that's partially what we see going on. Look further now. Let's look again at verse number 9. "For this cause we also," see that word "also." Also, he's adding to what he has already said, "since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Now, I want to stop right there. We'll read some more verses in just a moment, but I want you to chew on what I have just read to you. And bear with me for a few minutes while I lay the foundation of the thought that I want to speak to you about this evening. I want to speak to you on this tonight. From Big Brother to Heavenly Father. From Big Brother to Heavenly Father. Bow in prayer with me, would you? Our Father, we come before you in Jesus' name with a grateful heart to be in your house. Lord, we do so pleading the blood of Christ, understanding our desperate need of you. There is nothing that we can do without you. And I pray that you would help us tonight. You'd speak to our hearts. You'd change our lives from your word. Lord, as we try to develop this thought that you have put in my heart this week, help me to do it with a special anointing tonight. For I understand, even though it is a Wednesday night, I understand, Lord, there are people here who need you. People that are discouraged. People that are struggling. It could even be people in a group this size that are lost. And I pray tonight you would do that wonderful work of grace and help that only you can. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I want to ask a question that's going to sound a little bit strange to most of you. And please do raise your hand. How many of you have an iPhone? Raise your hand if you have an iPhone. Do me a favor and get that iPhone out. Would you do that? I rarely would ever encourage anybody to use their phone. While you've got it out, go ahead and put it on silent, okay? Let's go ahead and do that. I would rarely encourage anybody to pull their telephone out in church unless you are using it to read your Bible or to take notes of anything that is being said. Why don't you take your iPhone, and what I would encourage you to do is go to the main screen. Do you see that, where all of your apps are? When you're there, rattle your head at me if you would. Rattle, rattle, rattle. I hear a lot of stuff rattling around in some heads. So rattle, rattle. That's good. Now, go right here on your iPhone. You should see settings. Do you see settings? Click on settings if you would. Click on settings. The Android system has this as well, but I'm not familiar with it. Scroll down after clicking on settings, and you're going to see a blue box with a white hand in it, and it says privacy. Do you see that? Go ahead and click on privacy. Is anybody not seeing it? I want you to see something here. This is important. I want you to see something. Go ahead and hit privacy. Now what I want you to do is continue to scroll down, And you are going to see in just a minute when you scroll down, you are going to see a, well, goodness gracious, I done lost. There it is. A white box with a pink heart in it. It says health. Do you see that? Now click on that white box that says the pink heart. I want somebody to tell me what it says in the top box. COVID-19 exposure logging. Does anybody know exactly what that is? This is a tracking device that Apple has placed on all of their iPhones, and again, Android is doing it as well, that they've placed on all of their iPhones that are in operation right now for the purpose of tracking and tracing the users of the iPhone of anybody that has had contact with COVID-19 and may have been exposed to it. What you can do is you can go and you can register there. And if you've been exposed or if you've had COVID-19, you can register there. And then you can turn this particular feature on your telephone, and they will be able to track where you're at and other people that have been closely or have been exposed to coronavirus, COVID-19, and they will send you an alert knowing exactly where you're at, knowing exactly who you are. Now, I'm making a point to make sure that setting is off on my telephone. I'm making a point to make sure it is off. This was not installed and put on my phone by an update that I had done on my iPhone. I've not done one in over a year. So this was not installed by that. It was not installed by me going to some type of feature in an app store somewhere in the database or the system of Apple and me requesting that it be installed. But it is something that they had put on our telephones without our knowledge. And without our consent, they put it there for the purpose of being able to have the technology available to be able to trace people and to know exactly where they are at. Now, listen very closely, and I want you to follow me very carefully right here. It's on there without our understanding and without our consent, without a doubt, for the purpose of later when there is a mandate on this. They'll already have it in place and it can be mandated for us to follow it. Or perhaps they just want me to accidentally turn it on and they'll be able to follow every turn that I may make. Now, however you may feel about that, that's up to you. That's between you and the Lord. I don't care about that. However you may feel about it is up to you. But the reason that I shared that with you today and the reason that I wanted you to see what that is and what is really involved with that. And the reason that I wanted you to look at it and see that it is on your phone, something you did not request, something you did not download, is because I want us to be reminded again that the technology is in place right now. For you and I, or anybody in this world, to be tracked, no matter where they may go, it's in place so much to the point that we are holding it in our hands. And we don't even realize it. That's how close this thing is. That's how much that we are experiencing these what could be all moving toward the end times. Now, to a degree, the big brother or the big time corporations or, you know, potentially the government is putting the pieces into place that is fitting all into the end time plans that we are seeing the Word of God that is always spoken of and is revealed. Folks, when we think about the times that we are living in, it is absolutely remarkable to think we are living in this day that right before our eyes we are seeing this technology and right in our very hands, though we may not have even realized it, we are seeing the technology and the ability to be able to do what Antichrist is going to use during the tribulation period. Now, when we think about this day that we're living in, when we think about all these things that are coming together and these pieces that are falling into place, folks, it is easy to get overwhelmed with all of the details of it. All kinds of different emotions come up with it. I imagine we've all experienced some of those emotions, haven't we? Some are excited about it because it sure does seem like Jesus is just about to come. and pieces are being put in place. A lot of people are excited about it, but some have mixed emotions because though they may want to see Jesus, they're excited about going to heaven. There's still a part of them. Maybe they're younger. There's still a part of them that they want to live out their life. They want to experience some things in this life. And there's a degree of that we can all understand. Some are confused. Some are even scared right now by what I just mentioned. There's a little concern that is in your mind, that is in your heart at this very moment because you're just not sure about what's going on. You're not sure about what's really about to happen. There may be an uneasiness in your heart and in your spirit and in your soul because you may not be certain that heaven would be your home. If the trumpet sounded right now, that you would go to glory. And there is a part of you that is just uneasy about all of that. However, I imagine there may be some here that even a little bit get our dander up, maybe even get a little bit angry because some people just don't like the invasion of their privacy, the infringing upon that. It is easy to get overwhelmed by everything that is happening. Sure, that's the case. And while thinking about this past week, my mind immediately went to this truth. I'm so thankful that this world is not my home. I don't belong here. And I see all these things that are happening, and I see everybody that have these different emotions that are coming out of them, and they are falling apart. So many people are. And I'm just thankful that I've got another home one day I'm going to. And this is just a temporary existence for me. Perhaps some of us may need to stop getting so bogged down, so beat up, so filled with the drama of everything that is happening all around us. And I hope tonight some of us will just make some decisions with everything that is happening to set our hearts, our heads, and our hopes on our blessed Lord in the middle of this world that we are living in. We need to go from Big Brother, the Big Brothers of this world, and we need to turn to the Heavenly Father. Many of us today have been so consumed, and over these past few months, we've been so consumed with everything that is going on. We have put more attention and watched more news and had more concern about all this stuff, what I'm calling Big Brother tonight, than we have our Heavenly Father. We need to turn our attention from Big Brother and to our Heavenly Father. You may ask tonight, well, how exactly do I do that? Well, the answer is found in verse number 9. Where it says, do not cease to pray for you. Do not cease to pray for you. Prayer is the answer for everything that we are dealing with in this life. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter how heavy your battle is. It doesn't matter how long your days are, how tired you are, how struggling you are with your family, with your children, with your job. It doesn't matter what it is. Prayer is the answer to everything that is going on in our day. Now, there are four things that I want to share with you out of these few verses of Scripture. I encourage you to write them down tonight. And I want to challenge our hearts about prayer in what I'm calling from Big Brother to Heavenly Father. And you'll understand what I mean in just a moment. Four simple things. First of all, think with me about the burden. There's, first of all, the burden. Now, look further back at verse number 9, and we'll understand what it is. The Bible says right here, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, I just explained a little bit about what that was, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, Paul had right here, and he is expressing a burden that these folks right here would get the absolute very best that they could from God. He wanted to see them grow spiritually. He wanted to see them go and flourish for the Lord, to go and set ablaze the world for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that they were faced with and that they were going out and being exposed to each day. He wanted them to get God's very best for their lives, of which lined up with the perfect will of God. He had a burden for people. Do you have a burden for people that they will get God's best for their life? I tell you, I'm burdened for my own life. I find myself being burdened for the people, particularly in our church. I want to see God get a hold of our lives. Do something unique. Do something special. Set us ablaze for our Lord. I know very well in our congregation, in our church, There are many, many different people that are even under the sound of my voice in this building and all across, unable to be here tonight due to the circumstances of our world, that you are carrying a heavy burden you never expected, you never wanted, and you want to see that burden gone. And you just long for the day when the heavy burdens that you are having to carry, they will finally be gone. I want you to look at me right now and listen very closely, because I want you to know that I pray every day for the burdens that you are carrying in your life. Doesn't matter who it is. And to the best of my knowledge of the circumstances that you are faced with, or the burden that you are carrying, I pray every day that God would help you. He would give you what you need. He would give you the strength that is necessary to make it through these days that you are struggling through. I'm not making light of any burden that you have. I understand they are very, very real. I understand they are serious, and I understand that many people are struggling with them. However, with that understanding, I fear, though, that many, many of us, we have not fully exercised the burden that we ought to have for matters that are going on in our world today. I come to you constantly trying my best to lay burdens on your heart, looking around at everything that's going on in our world, our church, and our families. And I try our best to tell us that we need to have a burden for what's happening. We need to understand that this world is falling apart. We need to understand that we as God's people have got to get serious, and we've got to do some things to pull this work of God together, and the things that we've got to get done to get the gospel to our community and to the world, even in these strange times. We need to have a burden. But I fear, ladies and gentlemen, that many of us, we just have not grabbed hold of that burden. I don't think we sense the circumstances and the seriousness of the family conditions that we are having, because it is not shown, it is not reflected in the burden that we show. I don't think that we sense the seriousness of our church situations that are going on, that the touch of God and the power of God will be on the churches of America, because it is not shown in the burden that we are expressing. I do not feel that we understand the seriousness of the nation that we are living in. Folks, our nation right now, the nation we love, the nation that so many of you fought to protect and preserve freedom in our land, we are watching our country right now being shaken at its very foundation. Anarchy, war in the streets, flags burning all across the country in these riots and everything that we are seeing. We need to understand that these are serious matters, but we ought to have a burden for, but yet somehow it is not reflected in what we are showing in our lives. You see, a real heavy burden in our life, it is something that we cannot easily hide behind the smile that we may put on. It is something that we cannot cry enough tears for. It is something that we cannot visit the altar too many times at all. One of the ways that I know many of us from time to time may slip backwards on God, in other words, backslide just a little bit, is those of us who used to frequent the altar of God. Just seems like we don't make that trip anymore. Those of us who used to bow in our seats to pray during the time of invitation for lost sinners that are in a building, or for circumstances going on in our lives and in our family, we don't bow the knee in our chairs anymore. Those of us who are just fighting the battles of life and we see all these things going on, we don't even bow our heads anymore during the time of prayer. We're looking around and we're doing this or we're doing that. We're looking at our phone. It is not reflecting a burden in our lives that we need to have for everything that is going on around us in our world, in our families, and in our churches. Is the burden that we think that we are carrying really real? If you stood up and gave a testimony, and if we asked you right now, do you have a burden for what's going on in your family, in your church, in your nation, whatever it is, most of us would stand up and say, yes, we do have a burden. Yes, I do have a burden for that. But I wonder how many of us are mistaking a burden for our emotional distress because we've had a bad day. I wonder how many of us are mistaking a burden because it just seems like it just keeps on getting poured on. And we are taking the pressure and the stress of our lives, the desire that we have for things to be better, and we are replacing it and calling that a burden of our lives. How many of us are missing the boat that badly? We think we have a burden, but in reality, our burden is not really real. And when we're just fooling ourselves, may God help every one of us, every one of us, to not misunderstand our emotions or our desires for a burden that we have got to have for everything going on in our world, in our churches in America, and in our homes, and in our family. God, give us a burden that drives us to tears, a burden that drives us to our knees, a burden that drives us to faithfulness to the things of God, even when we're tired, even when we're stressed out, even when we feel like falling apart. May I suggest to us that one day the burdens that we are faced with in this life, they will pale in comparison to the people that are dying and going to hell all around us. God, give us a burden for the nation right now that has been a beacon of hope, a shining golden light to the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, give us a burden. Paul is here and he is saying that he has a burden. He was praying for the needs of other people. I really try our best to get our attention on this in some of our prayer services. Pray for the needs of people. That's exactly what Paul was doing. He had a burden in his life, and he carried his burden to God in prayer and got God's attention. But notice the second thing with me here. There isn't only the burden that we see, but notice the begging. There is the begging. I told you a minute ago, we could have gone to all different types of areas of Scripture to be able to pull these thoughts out of, but I could not get away from this. Look further at verse number 9. We just saw the burden. Since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. He says, we are not ceasing, we are not stopping, we are not slowing down our efforts in praying for you. In other words, our burden for you was given immediate attention and taken to the throne of God, and we did not stop. We did not stop. I think most of us, we may start out with good intentions. We may pray strong for just a little while, a few days, a couple of weeks, about a burden in somebody else's lives or in our lives. But I tell you what, when our fatigue hits, when our stress level goes up, all of a sudden we cease in our prayer, or we at least slow down our prayer efforts. Paul is telling him right here, hey, you may not be able to count on much in this world that you're in. But folks at Colossae, I want you to understand, believer, he's saying, I am praying for you, and I'm giving you my word. I am not going to stop. I may not be able to be there to shake your hand right now, but I'm writing you a letter to encourage the daylights out of you, to let you know that I'm holding the ropes of the work that you're trying to do for God in prayer. I am praying for you. The construction of this verse that I just read to you, it is giving us the idea that Paul was doing some begging before God for the spiritual needs of those that were there. Why was he doing that? He knew that the success of those people walking with God had everything to do with the success of the furtherance of the gospel. He knew it was important that they stuck with it, stayed by the stuff, and saw it through to the very end. The verse is telling us that Paul is begging for the burden that he was carrying. He went to God begging. When was the last time that you went to God begging for the burdens that you were carrying in your life? Man, I'm talking about begging. I'm talking about just like a little child, a little baby will beg for its bottle and its crying and its tears, and they won't stop until mama or daddy gives them that bottle. I'm talking about begging, 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 God, I need you to intervene, and I'm begging to you right now. I'm begging for your glory that you'll do this work with my child. I'm begging for your glory that you'll do this work with my husband, my wife. I'm begging for your glory you'll do this work in my nation. I'm begging for your glory that you'll do this work in my health. I'm begging for your glory that you'll save sinners in the church and build a mighty one in this place. I'm begging, I'm begging, I'm begging, I'm crying out, and I'm not going to stop until God intervenes and He does this mighty work. We may ask the question, why should I beg as a child of God? God already knows that I have a burden. Why should I beg? Let me just help us with this right now. You can turn, if you want to 1 Timothy chapter 2, where I'll read it to you. Verse number 1, he says, I exhort therefore that, I like these words, first of all, there's a priority that's put on something here. I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, Paul, the writer here, he's saying that there's one thing you need to pay attention to first. First of all, supplications. By the way, that's in the plural sense. Supplications, prayer, intercession, giving of thanks, be made for all men. That word supplications in the plural sense, meaning more than one. Meaning, in this case, more burdens than one, more issues that you're prayed about than one. Every one of us here have more than one thing to pray about. That's why I don't understand why we come to prayer times in churches or prayer meetings, whatever it might be. That's why I don't understand why that we don't pray. Goodness gracious, we've got a ton to pray for. It's not a matter we don't have anything to pray for. It's a matter we just won't do it. We have plenty of things to pray for. That word supplication, it simply means wanting. That's what it's talking about right here. In this sense, it is meaning wanting. It is giving the idea right here of someone that is begging for supply of something that is going to meet the greatest need of their life. Begging God. Treating God. Saying, God, you've got to supply this. You've got to show up in this situation. I know that. You know, when you go to begging, you've come to the end of yourself. And in my own life, I know that I fear I'm not there. Coming to the end of myself about the burdens that I'm carrying in this life, that I beg the more and the more and the more. Folks, there is nothing wrong, but there is everything right with begging God for the burden that we are carrying in our life. Begging God to intervene. Begging God to show up. Begging God to relieve the weight of the burden that we are having to carry. Begging God to help us through the circumstances of our life according to His perfect will. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're going to be a beggar, you might as well beg to God for His touch. Beg to God for His intervention. As a matter of fact, one of the ways we can know that we do not have a burden, a real burden, is reflected in our begging. A real burden will cause us to go to begging. When we really get concerned about that child, that grandchild, that co-worker, that neighbor that's lost and on their way to hell, our burden will cause us to go to begging. When we really get concerned and burdened about all of this mess going on with the virus and all of the unrest in our nation and in our world, ladies and gentlemen, that burden will cause us to go to begging. When we really get concerned about seeing the hand of God and the touch of God upon our lives and our church, when we really get a burden for that, that burden will cause us to go to begging, asking God to step in as that child cries for his bottle. Step in and say, God, I'm not willing to stop. I'm going to keep begging. I'm going to keep crying out to you until you feed me with what I need in this burden that I'm carrying. There's the burden that he speaks of. There is the begging. But notice the breakthrough. The breakthrough. I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago I talked to you about how I need a breakthrough. Oh, God was good to us that night. I thought about that when I jotted this down yesterday. The breakthrough. Look further at verse number 9. He says, and I do desire that ye might, here's the breakthrough, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. By the way, right there it is, the knowledge of His will. You pray about your burden, you beg about your burden according to the will of God. What does God have for my life? God may get glory out of your life in a way you don't think He can. And so we submit to the will of God in what God has for us. And then we're going to have that breakthrough. Look further at verse number 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. In other words, everything is going to please God. It's going to be worthy of God when that happens because it'll be pleasing to God. He goes on to say, here it is, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In other words, you got everything together. You're in the will of God. You're being fruitful for God. And you are increasing in knowledge of the Lord. In other words, you're going to do a great work when you're in the will of God. You're being fruitful for God. And you're learning more day by day from the Word of God of how you ought to live as a child of God. You're going to see some breakthroughs. Paul started begging for the burden that he was having, that God would give him a breakthrough of what those folks really needed, the burden that he was carrying in his life. There are those of us here today, right now, who need to see some breakthroughs in our lives. I've just come through a season the past couple, two or three weeks. I needed to see some guidance of God. I needed to see a breakthrough of God. And I know there's many of us that are in that place today. We are in need of seeing one of these breakthroughs of God with the circumstances that we are battling and facing in this life. And if we don't see it, some of us have got our backs so tight against the wall. Some of us are at the bottom of our race right now. We are at the lowest point of our life. And if we don't see what we need from God, we don't get the breakthrough. I tell you, we are just going to raise the white flag. We are going to throw in the white towel. That's how low that we may feel right now. I mean, we're just at the bottom of the barrel. Listen, folks, the reason that many of us are not seeing the breakthroughs in our lives is because we are not taking our burdens to God and we are not begging God for what we need God's intervention for. When we go to begging for our burdens, we're going to see some breakthroughs in our lives. I can't exactly tell you when. I can't exactly tell you what. And I can't exactly tell you where. But I can with absolute authority tell you that when we beg God for the burdens of our life, He will give us a breakthrough. At some point, He will give us that breakthrough. The breakthrough then will reveal, fourthly, the blessings like we could have never imagined. The blessings. There is the burden, the begging, the breakthrough. Then there's the blessings. There are two kinds of blessings as we move further in verses 11 and 12. There are two kinds of blessings that were the results of the breakthrough, that was the result of the begging, that was the result of the burden. Burdens aren't always bad. When we handle our burdens right, they'll lead to a blessing. Can't explain it. If we're walking in the will of God, the plan of God, we're doing everything we can to do what's right, somewhere there's going to be a blessing. Somewhere God's going to show us some things. This mess we've been in for all these months, I can tell you blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. I got a business meeting we'll tell you about at some point. Blessing after blessing after blessing. My family can look back over these months. Blessing after blessing after blessing. I could tell you three or four souls that have been saved. Blessing after blessing after blessing. I can tell you about churches that are really seeing God's people, that are really seeing the need to get serious about this. That is a blessing, and a blessing. Even though there's the burden. The burden brings the begging. The begging will bring the breakthrough. And when we get the breakthrough, we'll start seeing the blessing. There's two different types of breakthrough that we see in verse number one. First of all, there is the inward blessing. Two different types of blessings. The inward blessing. Paul continues right here. Strengthened with all might. according to His glorious power. I like that. Not just power. He says it's glorious power unto all patience and loving kindness with joyfulness. Now, when you look at that verse and you break it down, you will learn that is all inward things. Look at it closely. That is all inward things. That is a development that is going on within the life of the child of God. Things that God is doing on the inside. Folks, sometimes I don't need a bowl of ice cream to get me through. It's a blessing, but I don't need a bowl of ice cream to get me through. I don't need another dollar to get me through. I don't need a boost of energy to get me through. No, I don't need some of those things sometimes. Sometimes for me to carry the burden and for me to make it through the life struggles that we are in, sometimes I just need the good Holy Ghost of God to snuggle up close to me and make Himself that real to me in a way that I just sense His presence all on the inside of my life. It's something that I cannot see on the outside initially, but I sure can sense on the inside. And when God's working on my heart, when God's working on your heart, the people to your left or to your right or in your world, wherever it may be, they may not be able to see, but oh, on the inside, you just wish they could see what was bubbling up on the inside of you. God is gloriously visiting you in that moment, and you are experiencing God in His glory in your life. He is telling us right here that there is that inward breakthrough. And sometimes we don't need all of that other stuff. I tell you, folks, it is true. When I find myself in those places, I find myself just going on and saying, "Oh, Lord, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up and make me whole." That's what I need from God. When God goes to moving in the inside of mine, that inner blessing He starts giving, I know He's about to do something big. I know He's about to do a work in my life. There's that bubbling over, and I say, "Lord, oh, keep on bringing it, Lord. Keep on bringing it, Lord. I know this world needs to see this joy that I'm feeling on the inside. I know this world needs to see the Spirit of God living through my life that I am sensing on the inside of my life. Oh, God, may I stay on track. Oh, God, I know how I am, and I know I'm going to mess it up. Oh, God, I'm praying right now. You'd help me not to foul up on the inside what You're doing right now, because that inner blessing will eventually overflow to an outward blessing." That's what we see in verse 12. He not only deals with the inner blessing, He deals with the outward blessing. Look at it closely. He says, giving thanks unto the Father. How do you give thanks? Oh, in most cases, Brother Haney, you give thanks on the outside, don't you? There's something that you just use in your mouth. You get to work in that tongue and you start telling and using the words that you have. You start lifting your hands, blessing the name of God. You start, maybe, I don't know, just praising the Lord, saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything that You've done for me." That inner blessing begins to become an outward blessing. He's thanking the Father right here. Look further. "Which has made us meet to be partakers." Do you understand what that's saying? We get to be a part of the work of God. That is an outward blessing, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's saying we get the privilege of serving God. I get the privilege of rubbing shoulders. I tell you, there is no greater joy that I could have in standing before you and sharing the Word of God and serving God, coming to church and rubbing shoulders with the people of God. It just does something in my soul. It bubbles out of me on the outside. You see, a burden will lead to begging. And it will eventually lead to a breakthrough. And that breakthrough, friends, it'll bring blessings that we could have never imagined in our wildest dreams about what God is going to do in our life. We start seeing those blessings in our life. But where does it all start? It all started back with that one thing, didn't it? It all started that I never ceased to pray for you. I never ceased to pray for you. The burden turned to the begging. turn to a breakthrough, it always will. And then the inward and outward blessings started flowing over their life. All started with prayer. Margaret Stringer. She was a single missionary for over 40 years on a jungle island just off the coast of the mainland of Indonesia. You know her? Heard of her name? On this little island, nobody there, but native people who lived in that tropical type of jungle. The folks had a hunger to a degree for the Word of God, but she was having a hard time getting it to them because she didn't have a Bible that was translated in their language. And she could not get them to understand the gospel. What did she do? Margaret got a burden. I'm over here on this island off the mainland of Indonesia, and I come here to share the gospel, but I have an obstacle. Boy, seems like we got an obstacle right now with sharing the gospel, don't we? She said, I'm here. I got to do my work. What am I supposed to do? That gal got a burden to get Jesus to those people, but she knew she had to have a Bible. So for the better part of the next 20 plus years, of the 40 years that she spent there, over, she translated our English Bible into two different dialects, two different languages, two so everybody on her island would be able to understand it. She got a burden. She sent the copy that she had translated off to the United States, to her mission board, to go to print. Weeks, months, and even up into the years had passed. But one day, word came, the Bibles in their language were on the way. The Bibles made it. She held that Bible in her hand, but she didn't want to distribute them to the people yet because they wanted to have a big ceremony. They planned a big ceremony, a big dedication day, to be able to dedicate God's Word and then distribute it to those folks who had never seen it, never read it. We can't fathom it. The day finally came when the big meeting, the big celebration meeting was supposed to start. But it was the rainy season in Indonesia. And there were all kinds of her mission board leaders that were flying over from the States to Indonesia to be a part of this celebration. There were all types of dignitaries even from that area that were going to attend it. But remember, it was on an island off of the mainland coast, the coast of the mainland of Indonesia. During the rainy season, because of the mountains, it was a low-level flight. They were not able to be able to get in and land. So all of this hard work for over 20 years was not able to go on as planned and scheduled, or so she thought. She was absolutely devastated. She was heartbroken because she knew that this meeting was going to get the gospel to a lot of people. A lot of people in higher places of leadership in their area that could get saved. What'd she do? She went to praying, brother. She went to asking God to intervene. She took that burden that she had and she carried it to God in prayer and she said, Dear God, I've done this and I've tried to do it for Your glory. It is for the furtherance of Your kingdom. It's for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it kept on raining. She said, God, please stop the rain. It kept on raining. It kept on raining. And it kept on raining. And it kept on raining to the point that she was getting frustrated to a degree. She said, I don't understand, Lord, why You won't let it stop raining. We're trying to do this for You. She said she found herself in a place where her burden, it turned to begging. It turned to begging. She found herself out in the middle of the jungles. She found herself there in her modest little home, in the middle of the rain, in the middle of the mud, in the middle of the mess. And she found her prayers, her burden, had turned to begging. And she was begging and begging and begging. Oh God, for Your glory, would You do this great work? Would You just stop this rain for just a little while? And then at the very end of what was to be the scheduled meeting, her burden turned to begging, and there was a breakthrough. The clouds cleared just enough, and it allowed those leaders and all those others to make their way into the little island, where they went ahead with the ceremony, distributed the Word of God to a group of people who have never held it in their hands. The fruit and the blessings of that burden that turned to begging, that turned to a breakthrough, the blessings of that can still be seen today. The old heathen over there in the islands just off the coast of Indonesia who were giving their hearts to Christ because of the Bibles. But it all started with one woman who got a burden. And she went to begging. God gave her a breakthrough. And blessings are pouring out to this day still as a result of it. Margaret would later say, that she never understood the value of begging in prayer until she got a burden. You and I don't understand the importance and the value of begging because most of us don't really have a burden. I say it respectfully, but I think it's true. We don't have a real burden. I wonder tonight, what is the burden of your life, of your life, of your life, of your life, of your life? What is the burden of your life, in your life, in your life? What is the burden that you are carrying, the burdens that you are carrying, the burdens that you are carrying? Is it because of that lost loved one? Is it because of that health matter? Is it because that you are going bankrupt and you don't have the money to pay the bill? Is it because of our nation? Is it because of this virus? What is the burden of your life? When's the last time you really begged God about it? You see, Miss Margaret, she stopped relying on all the big brothers of her world. She got out in the jungle and she started relying on her Heavenly Father. Many times we try to do everything we can in our own power and in our own strength, and we try our best to develop things, help God out, help Him understand what we need for our lives, when in reality, we need to stop relying on all that other stuff and go get hold of God with a burden and go to begging as a child crying for his bottle and say, God, I'm not going to stop until you give me a breakthrough. And then the blessings are going to carry on. Stand to your feet in the house of God.